House. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You want to continue to remember our pastor and his family in prayer. They're on vacation, having a good time, I'm sure. We miss them when they're gone, but we're glad that they are able to take a break and have a much-deserved family vacation. But you want to remember in prayer, we miss them when they're gone. We want them to have a good time while they're there. Safe travels on the way back. So just continue to lift them up in prayer. You ought to lift them up in prayer every single day in your normal prayer life. God has blessed us with an awesome shepherd in this house, an awesome leader, a great teacher of the Word of God. If you're a guest in the house tonight and this is your first time, I'm looking around, I don't know that there's anybody here for their first time, but if you are here for the first time, you owe it to yourself to come back and hear our pastor rightly divide the word of truth. He's a phenomenal teacher, phenomenal preacher, and I've counted a blessing and an honor to have been raised up here with him as my pastor. And I'm just counting an honor and privilege to be here tonight with you, sharing the word of God. I've been battling some, I don't know if you'd call it laryngitis or just whatever, but I've been having some issues with my voice the last couple of days, so you bear with me tonight. I may not be able to deliver this word exactly how I envisioned it when God gave it to me a couple of weeks ago, but I know that God's given me a word here tonight, and we'll get through it together with the help of the Holy Ghost. So if you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn to Philippians chapter 2? We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 11. Is anybody excited about what God's doing in your life? I said, is anybody excited about what God's doing in your life? It's a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God, to be serving Him, living for Him. There's no place I'd rather be tonight than the house of God. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if you'll turn with me to just one more scripture tonight, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. When you get there, say amen. Proverbs 22 and 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. With the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the power of a name. The power of a name. Why don't you put down your Bibles, and before you're seated, give God a hand clap of praise and worship in the house. Hallelujah, God, we love you, God. We love your word, God. We pray that you would be with us tonight, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay as I deliver the word you've given to me, God. Anoint me, God, to speak forth your word, God. And we ask it all in the name that is above every name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. It's about 10 after 8, and I think we might get out of here about 8:15. No, I'm kidding. There are certain people throughout history that because of their legacy, their names are recognizable to us even today. Just the mere mention of their name conjures up thoughts in our minds that we have associated with those individuals. Even after they are gone from this life, Their memory lives on through their name. Names like Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Adolf Hitler, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, Saddam Hussein, Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, Amelia Earhart, Orville and Wilbur Wright, Elvis Presley, Thomas Jefferson, Henry Ford, Beethoven, William Shakespeare, and the list could go on and on. Very diverse group of people, but their names all have meaning to us here today. No doubt as I was running through that list of names, thoughts were popping into your mind about each of those individuals. Whether they were positive or negative, just the mention of these names invoke thoughts and emotions when you hear them. Thoughts like what I had myself when I was putting this list together. For Rosa Parks, you think about not giving up her seat on the bus. For Martin Luther King Jr., he was a leader in the civil rights movement and his famous I Have a Dream speech. For Abraham Lincoln, he was president during the Civil War, and the Emancipation Proclamation and the Gettysburg Address are synonymous with his name. George Washington, who was the first president and the founding father of our country. Adolf Hitler, as heinous as he was, you know him, he's famous for Nazi Germany and persecution of the Jews. Benjamin Franklin, another founding father and a renowned inventor. Thomas Edison, who was the inventor of the light bulb, the phonograph, and the motion picture camera. Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone. Saddam Hussein, we know for terrorism and war. Albert Einstein, who developed the theory of relativity, and whose name is synonymous with genius even today. Isaac Newton, who discovered gravity. Amelia Earhart and the Wright brothers, who are pioneers in aviation. Everybody knows Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence. And Henry Ford, he founded the Ford Motor Company and developed and manufactured the first automobile that many middle-class Americans could afford to buy. And Beethoven, perhaps the most famous and influential of all composers. And last on that list was William Shakespeare, who was an English poet and playwright. Perhaps the best-known play he wrote was Romeo and Juliet. His character Juliet is quoted as saying, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." She says this about the man she loves because their families are warring against each other. She's implying that she loves the person and not the family name. Romeo, because of their love, rejects his family name and tries to denounce it, but if only it were that easy. You see, Mr. Shakespeare, your character is implying that names are meaningless, but they are not. Because of the family struggle, because they were simply born with a certain last name, they're not able to be together. The story ends with Romeo and Juliet both dead. The families finally reconcile their differences, but not until after the death of Romeo and Juliet. All because of a name. You see, Mr. Shakespeare, there is power in a name. Names are given to you by your parents. They choose your first name, your middle name, and your last name is that of your family. Your name is how you are known for the rest of your life. When you meet someone from the first time, you exchange names, introductions occur. Your name, in essence, defines who you are and how you are known. Under certain circumstances, names can be changed, but those who've known you for a long time struggle with that change. How many of you had a nickname when you were younger and family members still call you that today? It's hard to change and get used to a new name. It takes time for them to be able to associate your new name with you because there's power in a name. And there is one name that is above every other name. There is one name that has more power than any other name. Can somebody shout out that name tonight? Go ahead and shout that name one more time. Somebody go ahead and give him praise. If you love that name, go ahead and give him some worship in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. Going to read through some scriptures tonight. Nick, if you'll help me out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, back to a portion of our text. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what people, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel here being interpreted is literally with us is God. That little baby was going to be God manifest in flesh. Isaiah 9 and 6, a very familiar scripture to us on every Christmas card that you receive. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When you say his name, you're saying Wonderful. When you say the name Jesus, you're saying Counselor. When you say the name Jesus, you're saying the Mighty God. When you say the name Jesus, you're saying the Everlasting Father. And when you say that name, you're saying the Prince of Peace. His name is all that. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, which we just read from the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's give him some praise in the house tonight. Come on, if you love that name, give him some praise in the house. It's the name that is above every name. Somebody go ahead and shout out that name tonight. Yay, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. There's power in the name of Jesus. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. If I'm going too fast for you, don't know, he's keeping up with me. All right. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What David is saying is you can go ahead and trust in man if you want to. You can go ahead and trust in your own power if you want to. But see, I remember a time when I was facing a battle and God stepped in, and I'm going to remember the name of the Lord because the Lord fights my battles. The Lord is going to be with me. The Lord is mightier than I. I will remember the name of the Lord our God. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Is this all right tonight? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's see, we've got one, two, three, four, a whole bunch more than three or four. He's here in the house tonight. God is in the midst of us tonight. Let's give him some glory and give him some praise in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. And John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There's life in his name. There's power in his name. There's healing in his name. There's deliverance in his name. In Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout out the name of the Father. Jesus. Somebody shout out the name of the Son. Jesus. Somebody shout out the name of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Oh, let's give him some praise in the house tonight. He's worthy. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter stands up and preaches a message here. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What's that name? Jesus. What's that name? Jesus. in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, Peter was there that day in Matthew 28:19, when God said, go baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And what did he do? He turned right around and he baptized and preached and said, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, because the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. It's that name that is above every name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in the house. Y'all stay with me tonight. I'm going somewhere. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I know it's a lot of scripture, but it's all right. It's Wednesday night. Bible study puts meats on your bones. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, there's healing in the name of Jesus. He's still a healer today. He's still a deliverer today. He's still a waymaker today. Then in Acts chapter 4, Peter has to answer for the healing of the lame man in chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. All the dignified folks were there. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? See, they knew there was power in a name. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There is none other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's provision in the name of Jesus. Everything you need is in that name. Let's give him some praise tonight. Come on, let's give him some worship in the house tonight. If you're thankful for the revelation of the name, let's give him some high praise in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That right there will preach by itself. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, only those that do the will of God and have a relationship with him shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They knew his name, but because there was no relationship, he didn't know them. Not only do you have to know his name, but he has to know your name. The true power of a name is unlocked when you have a relationship with the owner of the name. Another example in Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They knew the name. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You see, they knew what the name was, but they didn't have the relationship necessary to cast out the devils with the power of the name. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. You still all right tonight? Yes. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? He wasn't just looking at the Son of God. He was looking at God manifest in the flesh. You can look at me tonight. You may get a glimpse of what my Father looks like. You may be able to pick him out of a crowd. But when you look at me tonight, you don't see my Father. You see me. But when they were looking at Jesus, they were seeing the Father because the Father was in him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I learned early on in the corporate world that there were certain names that were more powerful than others. You had certain policies and procedures in different areas and different departments, but there were certain names that just because of who they were in the position that they held, they had certain power over those policies and procedures. There were others that would try to use those names for their benefit, but if they didn't have a relationship with that name and have the authority of that name and the approval of that name, it didn't mean anything. I have even had somebody that I was working on a project with go to my upper management and try to get something in sooner because they didn't like the date that I gave them or the timeline I provided for them that we could actually get a change in for a customer. And it was so funny to me. I didn't find out about it till later. My manager told me because they actually went to my upper management. And when they called and spoke to them, they were asked a simple question. What did Adrian tell you? See, I had a relationship with a person whose name held the power. And because I had the relationship with the one whose name held the power play that they tried to use against me was of no use. I was the one that actually had the power in that situation. But more important than the power of the name is to have a relationship with the one to whom the name belongs. Jesus is telling Philip that he is the Father and lets Philip in on the power of the name. But when he finishes the conversation, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there has to be a relationship. In verse 13 and 14 of John chapter 14 that we just read said, anything that you ask in my name, that will I do. So how do we ask God for anything? The answer is in Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is how we talk to him and how we have our relationship with him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how do we know what his commandments are? John chapter 5, 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. His word is how we know what he likes. how we know what he desires, how we know who he is, and we learn about him. And you can't have a relationship with somebody unless you learn about them, unless you know them. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you don't communicate with them. Prayer is how we communicate with God. So we've got to have daily prayer lives. We've got to have time in the Word of God. I know this is a worshiping church, this is a praying church, and this is a church that loves the Word. And I know it kind of seems silly for me to be preaching this to you tonight, but we know that it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And in learning, there's repetition. And hearing things over and over, it begins to get something new in your mind, something fresh in your mind. So we've got to have, I'm reaching out tonight and I'm calling this church. I'm telling you, we've got to continue the intensity. It's so easy to get bogged down in the cares of the day. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the hustle and bustle of the day. It's so easy to get going to kids to school, going to work, and then you work all day, you come home, kids got homework, you've got to put food on the table, and before you know it, it's bedtime, and the day has just flown by, and you haven't taken time for prayer, you haven't taken time to read the Word of God, and you're so tired and so white, by the time you lay down, or by the time you get done with all that, you just end up falling asleep. I know how that can be, so I just want to tell this church tonight, let's ratchet up the intensity in prayer. Let's take the Word to another level. Let's go ahead and get on this thing. It's easy. And I'm not saying there's anybody here tonight that this is you. I'm just saying it's easy to get that way. But we need to have that daily prayer life. We need to have that talking to God. We need to have that communion with Him, that fellowship with Him, because that's how we know Him. That's how we change our world. We've got to know Him. We've got to be a reflection of Him. And the only way we can do that is by communication with Him, by relationship with Him, and by knowing what He loves and being in the Word and praying. It's the only way that we can have a relationship with Him. We've got to know what He likes, what He doesn't like. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We've got to know the Word of God in order to be able to live an upright life. We've got to know the Word of God to be able to walk uprightly before Him. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to get in it. It's got to be our breath. It's got to be our life. It's got to be everything that we're about, everything that we do. It's got to be the first thing that we think about in the morning when we wake up. It's got to be the last thing that we think about when we go to bed at night. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to pray. We've got to reach this city. In order to do that, we've got to pray. And we've got to read our Word. I know this sounds simple tonight. It sounds easy tonight. Brother Sutton talks about this very often. He brought Brother Wynn Drost and Brother Stephen Drost to theology class to talk to the young men. And I think he thought they were about to impart some of the greatest wisdom that ever, because he was excited about it. And when we got in there, they spent really 2 hours, because we were in the early class and stayed over to the second class. And they spent 2 hours talking about the importance of praying and reading your Bible. Two missionaries who have seen thousands of people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, thousands of people healed. And they were talking about, you got to pray, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray, you got to read your Bible. It's the only thing that's going to keep us, church. It's the only thing that's going to keep us. It's the only thing that's going to keep your kids. It's the only thing that's going to keep your family. It's the only thing that's going to reach out into this world and save this world. They're looking for something. And what they're looking for is the power of the name. But they can't know the name unless they've got the Word of God. They can't know the name unless somebody brings it to them. Let's give God some praise in the house. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, it's got to be his people, they got to be called by the name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. How do you know what ways are wicked? You've got to get in the Word. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. This is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's praying for him. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of the God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see what the power that worketh in us is. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. We're called to be witnesses to Birmingham. The only way we can do that is for the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, but it's according to the power. It's according to the Holy Ghost. So to have the power, you got to have the Holy Ghost. It's the only way we can reach our city is to have the power. I'm not talking about some magic word. Now, if you want to stand out there and pray, you know, in Jesus' name, give me $5,000. Well, pray it. But I'm not talking about, that's not what I'm talking about tonight, but I'm talking about the power to keep you, the power to keep your family. In this world that's gone crazy, in this world that we're living in today, there's so much going on. There's so many crazy things happening that this has never happened in any other age, in any other generation. The things that are going on today, there's things that you can't even imagine, things that you can't even fathom. We hear about some of them in the newspaper, but there are things going on that we never even hear about. But the only way to overcome the craziness of this generation is by the power of the name of Jesus. It's the only hope that our world has. It's the only hope that our city has. It's the only hope that our family has. See, I need the power of the name of Jesus on my job. I need the power of the name of Jesus in my family. I need the power of the name of Jesus in this church. I need the power of the name of Jesus in everything that I do. Because it's by his power that I'm able to stand. See, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we're weak, he's made strong in us. And how much weaker can you get as a grown man than on your knees, bowing and crying and worshiping God and praying? I need the power of the name of Jesus. You see, there's no strength in me. There's no power in me. I have no hope of myself. I can't do this on my own, but I've got to have the power of the name of Jesus in my life. I've got to have it active in my life. So I've got to have word life. I've got to have a prayer life. I've got to be in the word. If you got kids and they haven't been in Bible quizzing, that's an awesome thing to do, an awesome ministry for them to be involved in. It puts the word of God down in their hearts. You see, there's been times where I've been facing things that were bigger than me, but because of those scriptures that I learned as a young man, those things begin to pop in my head and I begin to think about it and I begin to quote scripture. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, how did he answer him? He answered him by the word of God. He said, it is written, it is written, it is said. He knew who he was in the word of God. We've got to know who we are in the word of God. We've got to have the power of the name of Jesus. We've got to have the confidence of the word of God. And there's only one way to get that. It's to dive into it. And we've got to have communion with him. We've got to have a prayer life. And I know this church, like I said before, I know we pray. We read the word, we love preaching, and we love the word of God, but we've got to go to another level. We've got to get up. We've got to keep the intensity. We can't take a day for granted. We can't take anything for granted. We've got to keep it up. This world is pulling at us. It's pulling at our kids, but we've got to keep it up. We've got to keep up the prayer. We've got to keep up the word. I know it's simple, but that's the most powerful thing that we can do is pray. And read our Bibles. Because by doing that, we unlock the power of the name of Jesus. We learn who he is. And we know who he is. And begin to have communion and a relationship with him. It's how he talks to us. I know you can hear audible voices, but I can't tell you how many times I was praying, just opened up my Bible, and God spoke to me by a word in the scripture. Can we just lift our hands to heaven tonight? Come on, if you love him, just lift your hands up. I know this is simple. But I feel like it's needed tonight. Come on, just somebody just talk to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't we all stand tonight? I'm done. Somebody can get... Tiffany from the conference room over here. Oh, she's in here. Tiffany, come help me. Why don't we all gather down in the altar tonight with our families? And tonight, why don't we just have a recommitment? If you've got daily prayer life, you're reading the Bible on a daily basis, just go ahead and recommit yourself to God that you're going to continue to do that. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. If you, the pressures of life get to you and some days you let it slide by. But if that's you tonight, just commit yourself to prayer and daily reading of the Word. Come on, let's commit ourselves to Him tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.